Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I bet it's a lot of work. I mean, I bet it's a lot of work. You probably spend a lot of hours that you could be binge watching something, but you're instead working on this amazing, you know, project. That's
what I'm such an organic giver, and I was already acting this way for my clients and for the clients' girlfriends. I'd spend hours on the computer finding them free handbags, going through lookbooks for hours, or running around town to find. So that never felt like work to me. So now that I'm doing it with a charity intent, it again just doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
It's not weighing me down. It's not making me tired. It feels like a part of my purpose and a part of my day, just like brushing my teeth.
I love that. I love that. Sam, you're such an inspiration. You really are.
You're so
and
kind.
Like you said, people that are depressed, you know, sometimes we had a few workshops, well, a lot of workshops last year behind our flagship store in Studio City, where we invited a bunch of doctors, psychiatrists, and so on. And we brought
love
the community together to talk about anxiety and how they can cope with it. And as we reemerge back into the new norm, you know, I felt like people were just, the people that were there were obviously going through depression and anxiety. And one of the things that, you know, the doctors mentioned when they were giving us tips on how to deal with anxiety and depression was be selfless, you know, do things for other people, get out of your own head.
Completely.
It gets worse when you sit and feel bad about yourself and you're like, oh, poor me. Just get up and do something good for someone else that's in worse situation than you. And then maybe it'll wake you up and make you realize how lucky you are. But it's also the feeling
100%.
It's also the feeling of giving. I think that just, I don't know, there's something chemically that happens in the brain that when you give.
I'm never afraid to share this personal story. Do we have time?
Yeah, we have time.
Okay. My father, when I was younger, I learned later in life, my father was plotting to get rid of me and my family. He was plotting to kill my mother and myself, and my two younger brothers. Oh. Really dramatic story of like one night he took us out in a field to make us dig our own graves.
Oh my God.
I remember this as a child, and I couldn't handle the memories. I repressed the memories that came back later in life after therapy as an adult. I couldn't handle it as a teenager. But that whole experience, that whole journey, put such a deep, dark hole inside of me that was depression and manifested in unhealthy relationships, et cetera, et cetera. But through this charity work, I've been able to refill that deep well with so much heart and self-worth, and this is what I can do, and this is what I'm about, that it's no longer bare in there. It's no longer sad. I can look at the same wounds and understand them and not even cry anymore.
Yeah.
So I really want people to keep talking about their deep wounds, their deepest secrets, to not be embarrassed about it. Because once you put it out there, the weight, my shoulders drop as I talk about this to you.
That's inspiring. And like you said, get it out there. Just talk about it. It's amazing how talking about it, just simply talking about it. I don't know if it's because when we talk about it, we hear ourselves and somehow it becomes okay. And maybe that's all we need to do. Just hear about it over and over. And then
we can categorize it, put it here, put it there. And it's not like all consuming all over the place in me.
Exactly. And, you know, this whole last week, well, the last 2 weeks, we've been interviewing a lot of nonprofit founders. And I interviewed, I want to say, about three different nonprofits that were focusing on abused women and children. And it's so amazing to hear the stories, the inspiration behind the founders, why they started it. And most of them started because they had a personal experience. And my question to them was, and one of them actually said, when I first started this, and she had a master's degree in communication, and she was sort of planning to go into the corporate world, but she ended up having an experience where she got pregnant and then ended up going to this nonprofit facility and so on, and ended up becoming the CEO of that nonprofit. And she said, in the beginning, I was hesitant because I felt like being around women who have been abused will constantly remind me of the experience that I've gone through, and I want to let go of that. I want to just move on. And then she said, and then I realized that the more I'm trying to push it away and forget about it, the more it peaks on me and it just affects me. But when I'm
it
around
needs your attention.
Yeah. And she's like, now when I'm around with these women and I'm actually doing something about it to help them, it actually makes me feel good about, not that I feel good about what happened to me, she said, but I feel good and it doesn't hurt me as much. It doesn't make me cry as much. It's like, I'm just like, you know what, that happened for a reason. And I'm here to make a difference in other people's world and make sure this doesn't happen again. So that attitude.
It's all energy. She's taking that energy and refocusing it, making it something better.
Yeah. Now, how do you juggle the two? Are you still, are you still a stylist? Do you do that and then kind of juggle both at the same time? I'm curious to know how you organize your day.
Well, during the pandemic, I was going through a lot of anxiety and panic attacks, starting with the George Floyd protest, the Trump presidency, the beginning of the pandemic. Yeah. I stopped sleeping. I mean, I would go 3-4 nights and I wasn't sleeping. So I immediately got into fitness for the first time in my life. Wow. And that reminded me of how much I love getting back into acting. So I've now had to sort of turn the knob off on fashion, unless it's Giving Closet charity related, and say no to the music videos and say no to the TV shows. And now I want everyone to see me just as an actor. Wow. And it's been extremely busy because, you know, this is my intent. The universe is supporting it. I just came off Perry Mason season 2. I'm on 2 more TV shows this week
that
I can't talk about yet. But yeah, but there's tons and tons and tons going on.
Oh my God. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey as an actor? How is it different from being a stylist on set?
It's totally different. The stylists, we're the ones who are always arguing with the producers and arguing about money, but the actors are very more like, you sit here and relax, and when we need you, we'll let you know. And do you need anything to eat? Put your feet up. So actors are treated very differently because the hair people, the makeup people, the wardrobe people, we're the fighters. We're the fighters in the trenches. So I'm so loving and pleasant to these people because I know their fight. I know it.
So I'm going to ask you a personal question. When you were working behind the scene, did you ever wish that you were on the other end? Did you
Only when I started seeing the
on the actor's seat. Deep inside.
Only when I would see their pay. When I'd hear their pay, when I'd see their pay, when I see how they lived, I'm thinking, I want to dabble in that. Who doesn't want to dabble in that?
Why not? Yeah. To be creative
and to be paid well for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was what everybody wants, to be paid and appreciated for your creativity. Is a gift.
Exactly. I sort of went through that when I got into the advertising industry. I worked for a performance marketing agency, and all we did was partner brands with podcast hosts. My job was to negotiate a good deal on behalf of my clients with the podcast host so that the podcast host could promote the brand or the product or the service on their show. And I remember Joe Rogan was actually one of my favorite podcast hosts that I used to talk quite often with because his performance was always amazing. Any product he promoted would just sell out. So, and I would bring the brands and sort of have these onboarding calls where we would introduce the owners of the brands with Joe Rogan and so on. And by the way, he was very picky. He always only promoted or talked about the products that he loved. And Joe Rogan at the time was charging, I want to say this is back in 2012, about $18,000 per 1 minute integration.
Wow.
1 minute to talk about a product, $18,000. And I remember sitting there and thinking to myself, I want to be like Joe Rogan one day. But there were so many fear factors, I had so much fear. I had so much anxiety. Somehow, I would just get nervous every time I even thought about the fact that I'm going to have my own show one day. And, you know, and it's kind of sad that it took me
blockage. You're kind of blocking yourself almost
all the time. And I,
yeah.
And I'm not sure if it was partially because of certain people that were around me that just liked having me in their company and doing what I did, because I was really good at that. And just sometimes would correct me, because English is my third language. And so I do have an accent and I do mispronounce words. I do all the time. I never learned how to properly read. I learned, but you know how I had daughters, and then when they went through school and, you know, they're taught how to pronounce certain letters and how you can use it.
We have Americans here that still can't pronounce proper English. You're fine.
Yeah. And so in a sense, it was like, and these people would always correct me, you know, they would just be like, oh, it's pronounced this way. Oh, it's pronounced that way. And that put more fear in me as to why I can't do it. And I want to talk about if you've ever had anything like that and how, what you did to overcome it. I'm just curious to learn from you.
100%. Fitness has helped me overcome reprogramming my inner dialogue and making sure my inner dialogue is there to support me. Because, you know, being a hypersensitive person who had a string of unhealthy friendships and boyfriends, I've got tons of stories inside of me of things that didn't quite work out. But boy, now I've got a bigger list of things inside of me that have worked out. And I'd rather be more in tune with that. And so fitness has really helped me, because on those days when I don't want to get up and work out and I'm trying to talk myself out of it, when I start pushing through that, that's how you reprogram your inner dialogue. That is the key.
Do you meditate as well? I mean, do you do any?
I find ways to meditate. Like for me, that's being in the bathtub or going for a long walk, you know? So I find ways to just sit with a tree, and sometimes I'll stop, and if no one's around, I'll talk to a tree for a minute.
Oh my God, I do that too.
Yes.
I'm a tree hugger.
Yeah, I'm a tree hugger. I'm a
but a secret tree hugger. I do it when no one's looking.
Make sure around. I talk to trees, see how they're doing. I thank them for listening. You know, how are they? They're listening.
I know. You know, this might sound so freaky, and I'm sure, you know, the listeners are going to think I'm a freak, but I like to touch trees. I pretend like I'm stretching, you know, like I'm doing whatever, different things, squats, whatever, stretching my calves. And I'll touch a tree and I close my eyes. Have you seen Avatar? I'm sure you've seen Avatar.
Yeah, of course.
And you know how like they visually show how the, you know how like it just lighting goes through the tree and it's like going underground. I just envision that. And somehow I feel like anything that I say to a tree is being connected to this universe. And I feel like they're the
roots.
Yeah, it's like all connected. And I don't know, there's something about the trees that help me. They help me get over, I'm still not over it, but when I was dealing with my dad's passing, I used to go to Fryman in Studio City and hike there. And there were three trees that helped me get through the whole process of losing and losing my dad. It was just like, I felt like these trees were my protectors. I feel funny talking about it. I've never talked about it except to my daughters who think.
Well, I hope it's a good, giggly, funny, because it is such good feelings when you talk about it.
It is. And it's like, you just have to find what works for you. And and you shouldn't care about what people think or how people judge you. I mean, people used to tell me, hey, go get therapy. It seems like you're pretty depressed after your dad passed away. And I was like, I don't need therapy. I've got my trees. I just go hug them and they make me feel good. And I sit under them. I feel protected. And it was just rejuvenating. I would just feel so rejuvenated. I would sit there quietly. And sometimes I would talk and vent and just complain. But
To honor your father, to honor your father's memory is to get back in touch with the good memories. It's to laugh and to love, because you feel very disconnected from your father when you're always wallowed in sadness. Because I don't think that's how you remember him,
just
being wallowed in sadness. But when you can finish that sadness and get back to the, oh, I remember these happy times, then you feel much closer to his spirit, don't you?
Oh, yeah. And like you said, you know, talking about it and reaching out to your community also helps, because I remember in the beginning, I was very upset that he passed away so quickly. He got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and then 2 months later, he was gone.
Fast.
And then I remember talking to a few people who had bad fathers, or one just didn't even have a father. And I was just like, oh God, what am I complaining about? Like, at least I had my father for 40 years. You know, I was so blessed to have him for that long and for me to experience good fatherhood. What about all those people that didn't have a good father, like you just explained, sadly? And so all of a sudden, I was just like, you know, now I embrace my dad instead of just crying and being sad and thinking, poor me, I don't have my daddy anymore. You know, it just changes the perception.
100%. It should. He was a provider, and look at what he's passed on. Look at the heart and spirit he's passed on. You're no accident.
Yeah. Sam, you're an inspiration. If you were to give a listener advice, you know, not just as an entrepreneur, I think to a certain extent, you are an entrepreneur, you know, Giving Closet is a venture that you started from your heart and from scratch, you know? So if you were to give the listener advice, what would it be if they're in they're going through a phase where they have ideas, but they're scared to take on the leap, or they have another job and they're just not able to, or what would you suggest?
No fear-based thinking. Just no fear-based thinking. If you can work on that, you'll begin. No fear-based thinking. It is that basic.
I love that. And I do want to bring up something you mentioned earlier. You said that think of what you can give to people before you ask them for something. And I think, you know, I've always had a hard time asking for things, asking for help, asking for advice. I would just not ask. And I would take the harder route and learn things the hard way and then come to an understanding that that was not the smartest choice. It wasn't until, you know, and maybe it's the way I was raised where, you know, you weren't really supposed to even be an entrepreneur, let alone ask for help. So right. All that programming needed to be unprogrammed, deleted.
You're doing a great job at it. You're doing a great job at that too.
Thank you. But I really want to emphasize that one more time that, you know, think of what you can give, barter. Don't just ask. You know, I feel like everyone's in there's just so many people just taking. It becomes really exhausting, you know, for us to be approached by people that just want to take up our time, sell us stuff. Like, I can't stand when people sell me things lately. I don't know why I get.
Yeah, it's got to be synergistic. It's got to be synergistic or it's just not working.
Yeah. And I feel like the society is changing too now, you know, with everything, just especially marketing and advertising being so different. It's almost like we're all looking for something that has more meaning to it. Like if I were to do something for it, like I would love to help the Giving Closet in some way, whatever it is. If it's shining a light on you through my radio show, podcast, putting it on all my websites and channels.
Well, I'll take your size, 8 shoes anytime.
But like, if there's anything more we can do to help, let me know. If you want, a trained intern that can come in and help you with marketing and social media, let me know. Maybe we can have them donate.
What I'm putting out in the universe right now is it's time to turn this into a TV show. So now I've been lining up everything to find a showrunner to turn this into a TV show. So Sam Russell is on the hunt for a showrunner. And I'm putting that out there in the universe.
Oh my God. Okay. You know, I was on a reality TV show because of my shoe business, but.
Oh, which one?
Embarrassing. The Brides of Beverly Hills on TLC.
How cute. Yeah. I worked for TLC. Don't be
embarrassed. I hated it. I was so uncomfortable. I couldn't stand it. I did one season and then I just stopped it. I looked so horrible. You could tell I was just feeling so uncomfortable because it wasn't, I'm a shoe designer and they put me in there as a stylist. And I'm like, I'm not a stylist. I don't know anything about style. Like, I love fashion, but but that's another story. We have to talk about it separately. But I can't believe
I know. It's gone by so fast. I've enjoyed this.
It went by so fast. I still have so many questions, but maybe I can bring you back and we can talk about the TV show and how you can turn this into a reality. But if there's anything we can do to help, for you to accomplish, what's the deadline? Have you set a deadline for this goal?
Yeah, I've got another surprise coming up at the end of March. So we're going to take that footage and start shopping that around. So the deadline really is, I'd like to be in pre-production by summer.
Okay, I'm going to start praying for you and putting this out in the universe with you.
Can I thank you too? Can I thank you for the bath bomb?
Oh my God.
I have to thank you for the bath bomb because I'm a real big fan of baths. I don't take showers. I'm all about the bath. And I'm really picky about my bath bombs. And the one that you sent me, I loved because it left this sort of maroon Valentine's Day color in the bathtub. And when it was done, it didn't have the gross smear.
Yeah,
the cup was clean afterwards. Yeah. And I'm like, wait, okay, I'm all about that.
Thank you so much, Sam, for your time, for getting on this show, for sharing your amazing work with The Giving Closet. Again, remind us how we can help, whether it's donating, whether it's volunteering. Is there anything we can do to support you?
Everyone can keep up with me at Giving Sam on social media. My website is givingcloset.net. Of course, I welcome donations. There used to be a button there set up for donations, but right now I really want everyone just to stay inspired, spread the message. Giving Amazing. Closet.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.